fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Monday, the 25th day of June, year of our Lord, 2018. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, the main headline on Drudge this morning has to do with Donald Trump announcing that illegal aliens, these are criminals, that are caught near the border are going to be sent back to wherever they came from immediately with no jurisprudence taking place. And I think that's a smart thing. There's a lot of pushback on this, but I believe it's the right thing to do. It saves us a lot of money, that's for sure. Prepper tip of the day, when you're putting inventory of food together, don't forget spices, herbs, and flavorings. Spices, herbs, and flavorings. Kept in a cool, dry environment, they'll last for many years, especially if they've never been opened up. And food becomes a big deal real quick in any kind of situation, in normal times as well as hard times. So your prepper tip of the day is to carry an inventory, a large stock of spices, herbs, and flavorings. They would be great barter items, by the way, so you may want to stock up and buy them by the case, quite frankly. They'd be great barter items. A lot better than ammunition for barter. I'm not so sure I want to barter ammunition for obvious reasons. Today is Firearms Monday. This is the day we take 2 hours to talk about anything and everything to do with rifles, shotguns, pistols, ammunition, optics, the gun culture. And we have our regular Monday morning guest, Jimmy Gensling, the proprietor of Desert Eagle Shooter. That website is deserteagleshooters.com. Good morning, Jimmy.
Well, good morning, sir, and good morning, everybody out there. Firearms tip of the week, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more during the show today, but range bags. Every time you go to the range, you know, you always grab your rifle, your handgun, shotgun, whatever it is you're going to take. You grab your ammunition, some targets, and you head out to the range and go do your thing. A range bag is something that you carry extra equipment in, and it goes with you religiously. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about putting together a range bag, what is in a range bag, and just the basics of it. So if our listeners and everything have a question today on range bags, or you know, where to get a range bag or what they can use for a range bag and everything, that's what we're going to talk about today, John.
Okay, great. Well, personally, I don't have a range bag. I just walk out the back door with a basket full of whatever I need and set up on my bench and shoot.
Yep. But you're close enough to the house that if you do need anything,
I just walk back there and get
just
it.
Yep. Right. Exactly. Yep. Sometimes being off, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles away or whatever, then that gets a little bit
Most people, most of the time. Yeah. If you have to travel to your range, even if you have to get in an ATV and drive on your ATV, it's handy to have everything with you, isn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. And so the first thing that we need to talk about is, you know, what is a range bag? It can be anything. When I first, years ago, started doing this and everything, it was an ammo can. I had a, what we call one of the tall 50s. It's just like a 50 caliber ammo can, but it's at about an additional 3 inches tall. And had extra ammo in it. Had a water, well, I had a canteen or something that would go with me for water. And then from then on, I would change it accordingly as was needed. And that worked pretty much, you know, for about 10 or 15 years. And coming out of the military, well, actually being in the military, I saw my first real range bag, and it was by one of my boarding team members. And I just thought it was so neat. What he'd used was just a, what we call now a small day pack. Back then, it was basically a child's backpack, and it had one main compartment and a couple of pockets on the outside, and that was it. And Dave would sit there, and he had cleaning supplies in it. He had a complete cleaning kit in it. He had stuck case extractors, you know, in one of the pockets, wrenches, screwdrivers, common things that you would run into. Had canteen, of course, or water container of some sort, and that was basically it. And you get out and start shooting like we were doing and everything, and working on stuff, and things evolve. It's, you know, kind of like women in purses. They've got all the purses they need until they're at the mall one time, and some lady shopping someplace else, they see a purse that is just infatuates them, and they've got to have it. Guys, gals in the gun culture were just as bad. And nowadays, the typical range bags that you see look like a small gym bag from the old days and everything. Some of our listeners will know what I'm talking about, but they're normally 6 to 8 inches across, maybe 12, 14 inches long, and, oh, I don't know, 10, 12 inches high. And they'll zip across the top and down the sides and have pockets on the inside and pockets on the outside. We carry a couple of different ones here at the store and everything, and the smallest is probably my favorite. And I've got a couple of them. One, I've got loaded up with reloading equipment, mainly just priming tools, case prep tools, and things like that, that if we're traveling back and forth, like to the VA or something like that, I can grab this one and throw some cases in it. And while we're at the hotel or like that, I can clean cases and prime cases and get them ready for when we come back to actually do some reloading. And then on the range bag side of it, I've got one identical to it, that I've got the range finder in it, I've got binoculars in it, It has one long zipper pouch on top that is just perfect for a cleaning rod, a three-piece or four-piece cleaning rod. And take a small Tupperware or medicine bottles work great. Put your cleaning jags, brushes, and stuff like that in it, and label what it is. And by labeling it, I mean like 30 caliber cleaning tools or 6.5 cleaning tools or whatever. And those fit in any number of little pockets and everything.
Jimmy, what I do, let me jump in here, please. What I do with small things like that, I've got probably half a dozen different kits that I've put together. I take Ziploc bags, and I place those items in a Ziploc bag, and if there's any doubt about what's on there, I just use a felt-tip marker and mark on it what it is.
Yes, sir. Yep, works beautifully. Nice thing about the Ziploc bags, ladies and gentlemen, is they're not form-dependent, i.e., they stuff anywhere. Addition to that, if you are going to use the Ziploc bags, use the better quality ones. The store brands sometimes are a little bit thin, and especially if you're using like cleaning jags or stuff, they'll poke a hole in it, and then they can get loose and go running around in the deep, dark crevices of your range bags. My wife, Teresa, affectionately refers to that in her purse as the dark hole. She knows her Carmex is in that purse somewhere. She knows because she just put it in there 2 minutes ago and cannot find it. Why? Because it jumped into the deep, dark hole down in the corner and is hiding. Range bags are notorious for that, ladies and gentlemen. And the only suggestion I can make is if you know you put it in the range bag, you really do, you know you put it in there, the only solution is to dump everything out, and you'll find it. And I'm speaking from experience, John.
I can tell. Well, so, what you want when you do that dumping process, you want a nice, flat, clean floor or tabletop where small pieces won't get misplaced.
Exactly. Lids, now if you're doing it at home, one of the perfect things I found to do that with is a lid from a tote or something like that, because it's got the raised edges and things will not roll off the table into the carpet or anything like that. So in putting together your range bag, ladies and gentlemen, I take and keep a pad and paper, of course, in all my range bags and shooting kits and everything. And it's specifically for, I'm at the range and I need something and I don't have it, I write it down. And all it does is serve to jog my memory, because when I get back, I take everything out of the range bag and make sure that if I've got any loose brass, or say maybe I've got a gun that split a couple of cases, I'll make sure that those get stuck in a separate Ziploc or container and put in the range bag, and when I get home, examine those more closely to find out either A, do I have a problem with the chamber or the gun, or B, is this brass that's been reloaded too many times and I need to really look at that lot and see if it's time to retire it to the salvage yard. That's another thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to help fund your shooting sports and everything, if you have got old brass that you've been collecting, maybe you don't have the caliber anymore, and you don't know anybody that reloads for it, anything like that, put it in a coffee can, and after you get an accumulation of it, find out which one of your salvage or places that buy pop cans and stuff like that, aluminum, will also buy brass and copper and other stuff, and take that and put it in a gallon Ziploc baggies or whatever and take that in and sell it to them. Brass brings a high dollar, and you know, you can sell a couple of Ziploc baggies of spent brass and have enough to buy a couple of boxes of ammunition or something else.
There you go. Jimmy, we got a caller on hold. We haven't heard from him for a while. I think maybe he's been on vacation. Glenn in Philadelphia. Good morning, Glenn.
Hello, Jimmy. I so wish that you were correct, but it's been more like running pell-mell doing a bunch of urgent things for a very long time. But anyway, I hope you don't mind a momentary digression off topic, and then get right back on topic. First of all, to John's point about the immigration and the new policies with Trump about sending back immigrants, I'm not anti-wall, and I agree with John. I think it's a good idea to send them back where they came from. The other element of the immigration thing not to forget is that airplanes fly over walls. And there's also an element of immigration going on where these Chinese women will fly in and have their babies on American soil, and the child is now born with dual citizenship as an anchor baby, and then they fly back to China. And then that later on, that kid can, you know, come back over here, you know, with American dual citizenship. So
right.
It's not
that's
just
been going on. That's been going on for at least 10 years, maybe longer. Glenn, you're right.
Exactly, and it's largely unthought of. But yeah, and it's not just China, you know. So that's the other element. But it's not the hot button top priority issue at the moment, you know. But it's there. And then I'm now on a gun point about guns. I wanted to point out, I have a concealed carry permit. I almost never carry concealed. I had an occasion recently where I was going down into the city where I've known several people who have been touched by crime in this area. Unfortunately, it used to be the old neighborhood where my parents grew up. I had to go down there in the evening, and I decided to ankle carry my .38. And I have to admit, there's this psychological phenomenon when you haven't carried for a while, and then you carry. If you're not a regular carrier, where it feels odd, and I almost feel like it's like, wow, it's like there's this unusual thing going on where, wow, I'm carrying a gun. And I don't, you know, I don't think that's like a good thing. I think it's, you know, when you're carrying, you should be well acclimated to it and, you understand it, you know what you're doing, you're safe, and you don't see, you know, carrying concealed as an unusual, you know, phenomenon. It's just a tool that's there for a reason if needed. And I thought, yeah, I really don't like the fact that it kind of it troubles me or you know, causes this sensation of this being an odd thing. You know, I think it should be considered, you know, normal.
I'm just the opposite. About once or twice a year, I'll get in a hurry for an appointment, and I'm walking out to my car. I notice the weight of my 1911 isn't there, and that's what's odd to me, is not have the weight of that 1911 in my left armpit. So I'm just the opposite of you, sir.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there are a lot of people, I think, like myself, who are infrequent carriers. And not to mention, you talk about going to the range, working our way over to your range back topic. I've been so busy with other, you know, I work 50, 60 hours a week and still have, you know, things to do at home. And it's like, I haven't belonged to a range for a few years. And, you know, again, I think, you know, I really should get up to, and I have one 3 miles from my house, a nice indoor range, and I should join and get over there more often so I don't get too far afield from this. And, where they do, by the way, have a cardboard box for throwing in your used brass. We're working our way back to your topic. Sometimes the indoor ranges will, you know, collect the brass and they'll cash it in themselves. If you want to make a, you know, in places like that, if you want to make a contribution to your local range, you can just toss your brass in there, or you can do what Jimmy's saying and collect it and, you know, sell it yourself, your used brass. And about that, I have a regular duffel that I used to carry. It's in the closet. Where, you know, if you walk in, the first thing they ask is eyes and ears. It's like, yeah, eyes and ears. I got my safety glasses and my you know, hearing protection. You know, so yeah, at very least, you'll need those. And, you know, just I would toss my, you know, if I'm taking in my cleaning kit, my safety glasses, my earmuffs, and my stuff like that,
okay.
All ready to go. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Real good, Glenn. We got a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the Intershelter Domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The Intershelter Dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that ladies and gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 25th of June, visiting with Tim Spence, with Jimmy Gensling. I got Tim on the brain here, Jimmy. The proprietor of Desert Eagle Shooters. That website is DesertEagleShooters.com, and this is Firearms Monday. We talk about everything there is related to the gun culture, firearms, optics, ammunition. Jimmy, we had a discussion, and this comes up occasionally, about the Ruger 10/22, and I did a head count on how many different models the factory sells. I think it was over 50 different versions of the 10/22, which I was astounded to see that many versions. I'm not sure how long it took. That rifle's been out about 40 years or so. How long it took for people in the gun culture to figure out it was actually a modular firearm that could be so very easily modified. It's quite an extraordinary little piece, isn't it?
Oh yes, sir. It's one of those things that has become, I guess, a hallmark, a staple. I just can't think of a word that would work better on it. Of target shooting and introducing people to firearms. I know an Appleseed. You cannot go to an Appleseed event and not find half a dozen of various configurations, you know, all the way from high-dollar, fully modified, all the bells and whistles, you know, 1022, and then go from there and find just the box stock ones, you know, 10 feet away. But it is incredible on it, just how it's gone. Going back to what Glenn was saying about the range bag and everything, that was one thing I was going to get to in a moment, was the range bag is also the perfect place to keep your hearing protection and your eye protection. But also, if, like you've got the noise-canceling headphones like Teresa and I run, especially for handgun, spare batteries for them. You know, if you have anything that uses batteries, you have to have extra batteries for it. It's just, it's a given. If you've got them in your range bag and you've got them in a pocket, and this is where your marker comes in, John, a little Sharpie, I will take, and if you go to your Walmart, your sewing center, any of those places, you can find the, they'll call it hook and loop, we call it Velcro, kits where you half-inch wide, one-inch wide, even up to, I think, two-inch wide, strips that are about 3 or 4 feet long, and it's both sides of the Velcro. And buy a strip of that, and you can get it in different colors, and go over to the home improvement section where the glues and everything are and pick up a can of contact cement. And you can take on your range bag and coat the a spot on the range bag and a piece of that Velcro. I always tend to put the what I call the felt side of the Velcro on the bag and glue that on there. You know, put a few stitches in it if you want with thread and needle. But you have that on there, and you can take the other half of it and write on it with a Sharpie that batteries, rangefinder, GPS, whatever it is, and label those pockets, not so much for you, but if your buddy's with you and you run out of batteries and you're on the line, you can ask him to look at the range bag and find the pocket with batteries, a couple of AA batteries or whatever. And that's always a good thing to do. Labeling is always a good thing to do.
Absolutely, it is.
So that you can find them. And not always, like I said, for you to find them, but for someone with you to find it. And the range bag, it gets to be so important, ladies and gentlemen, and after a time, it's like John said, leaving the house without his 1911 on his hip, he almost feels naked. And you go through using a range bag, ladies and gentlemen, and you get the same feeling. Because the first time that you're at the range and you really, you got a stuck case, okay? We sell extractors, John, and they're so bloody expensive. I think the 308 one, I think it's like $7 or whatever. And bottom of the hour break.
There's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 25th of June. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Lots of things are at my website. If you're a new listener, you can spend a lot of time there reading, educating yourself, watching. We don't have very many videos, but the ones we've got there have been very carefully selected to educate you and entertain you. One that's really funny, if you need a good laugh. I was hoping this would become a mini-series or of something, but BBC did something titled The Real Housewives of ISIS. It's only about 3 minutes. If you need a good chuckle, just scroll down the middle of my homepage. You'll see the image there of the woman wearing the hijab, and it's pretty funny. Also, my website, of course, you'll find energy cleaners for sale. This is my home business. If you're one of my listeners and you have arthritis, what are you waiting for? Get yourself an energy cleaner. It will most likely help you. Joint pain, back pain, same thing. Get yourself an energy cleaner. It will undoubtedly help you. Not getting a great night's sleep? Well, that's what the energy cleaner helps with, getting a great night's sleep. All the details are there at my website. The energy cleaner is only $285, shipping included to American zip codes. And keep in mind the following. I offer for me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. I'm picking up a fresh batch today from the manufacturer, Tom Berryhill. I think it's today, maybe tomorrow. And everything's in stock, ready for immediate shipment. I, too, take PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. PayPal, of course, is the most secure way to make any payment online. If you need to send a check or a money order, my address is there at my website at thelibertyman.com. I have a toll-free auto line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jimmy Gisling, this is Firearms Monday. If you have a question or comment regarding firearms, give us a call. The call number is 800-313-9443. Let's continue, Jimmy.
All right, sir. We were talking about our range bags and everything else. The one I was discussing earlier and everything, I kind of roughly gave the dimensions on. That range bag runs about $25 to $29, I think. And then they go up from there. And one of the range bags that we carry is called the Expert Range Bag. And Teresa's actually got one of those that we bought for the business that she uses for her portable office. She carries everything in there that she needs for the office, all the paperwork, all of the catalogs, everything in that one. And then whenever we're at the gun shows, if we need anything at all, I don't care if it's rubber bands or I've got to look up a price in a catalog, she's got it right there. Now, rule number one, guys, if it's your wife's range bag, treat it like her purse. Don't ever get in it. If I need something out of the office bag, and we're busy with customers, I'll write it on a piece of paper, stick it on the cash register, and she'll get to it when she can. So, you know, that's just a little thing between me and her, but it can keep harmony going. Now, the one bad thing about guys and any kind of bag, if we've got an empty pocket, we got to put something in it. It's like our 72-hour bag. We put it together the first time, and we are just, you know, we're real happy and pleased. We've got a 72-hour bag that's loaded, ready to go, and it only weighs 15 pounds. And it's got absolutely everything in it. Well, we got an empty pocket. I'll put a, you know, Leatherman tool in there. Or I'll put an extra can of pork and beans in for a snack. And pretty soon, that bag weighs 60 pounds. And it's just inherent for the beast, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that guys do. So in looking at your rain bag and everything, consider what you're going to carry. And I recommend always starting off smaller. And if it doesn't work out, if it is indeed too small, then look at, you know, going to a larger bag or possibly an over-the-shoulder bag or something. Several different kinds. We're working right now on getting some stuff put together for the web page and everything that'll show different styles of bags that we carry and basic prices on them and everything. I've got to get with Tim and see where we, are on a few of those things. But the importance, ladies and gentlemen, of the range bag is this. You have got common everyday items that you need at the range, primarily things like tools, cleaning kit. We were talking about extractor, broken shell extractors earlier. What those are, ladies and gentlemen, and we carry them in 308, 556, and 762x39. But occasionally you'll get a case that will break just above the head, and it'll pull the rim and a small portion of the case out and leave the rest of it in the chamber. Well, first off, you never, for any reason, period, don't do it take any form of tool, screwdriver, tweezers, I don't care what it is. If it's metal, you do not stick it in the chamber of that gun trying to get that piece of brass out. What you're going to wind up doing is you will gouge your chamber and you will ruin your gun. It just, it's a given. It's a 100% fact, and I think Don will stand behind me on that one.
Well, it'll give people a heads up on, you've got a nice polished chamber and it has a gouge in it. What's the effect on the performance of the firearm, Jimmy?
The effect is that from that point on, you're going to start leaving cases in that chamber. In extreme cases, you're going to rip the head off of some of them or rip the rim off of them, trying to extract them, because that burr that you've now created in there is got sharp edges, and when you fire the, it's going to chamber the round perfectly, unless it's a really deep gouge, and then you've got the chance of a gun going off out of battery. But that gouge is in there, and when you fire that round, that brass is going to expand. It's going to get into that gouge. It's going to, grab it just like a pair of pliers. And then when it goes to extract, that case isn't going to go anywhere. Now, two things that you can do, ladies and gentlemen. One, if you have an aluminum cleaning rod or a brass cleaning rod and the head is still on the case, you can take and run that down from the muzzle end and tap the case out. Anytime that you have a stuck case for any reason, ladies and gentlemen, stop what you're doing and examine. Find out what is causing that. There may be some debris in there. Out here in New Mexico on a windy day, it is not uncommon, to pick your gun up off the line and get ready to shoot. And I have the habit of rolling it over and always looking at the innards of the gun, you might say, and make sure that some dust and crap and other things haven't blown in there before I get going. And it's another thing, ladies and gentlemen, that you can do on that same aspect is, before in cleaning and all, we've talked about boar snakes. It is not bad practice. In fact, it's excellent practice. If you've got a windy, blowy day when there's crap around and everything else, keep your boar snake in a bottle or a baggie on the line, and once you get ready to go shoot again, if you notice that there's a little bit of dirt blown in there, chances are there's more in the chamber, pull the boar snake through it. That takes care of any dust or any grit or anything that's in that chamber and prevents scarring that chamber. So you keep the boar snake right there, and boom, 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 you're all good to go. So just, another little bit of food for thought. Getting back to the stuck case, the broken shell removers that I'm talking about, it is a rather odd-looking little piece of equipment, and you place it in the rifle just like a round. You make sure your magazine is in so it'll pick up this broken shell extractor. You drop it in, you hit the bolt release, and it slams it forward. And once it's in there, it has a little fine lip on it that is designed to grab the mouth of the case. And once it's all the way in, you grab the charging handle or the bolt, and you pull it back very slowly, and it'll capture that brass case and pull it out. Now, if it doesn't work the first time, lock the bolt back, and if you look at the broken shell extractor, it's got a screw head on it, so you can actually screw the center section up and make it a little bit tighter to grab with. And you do that a couple of three times, and you'll get that broken shell out. If that doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how much you want to shoot, no matter how how important you think it is today to get more rounds down range, do not try to dig that case out. Call your gunsmith or your armorer, explain to them what's going on, and tell them you're going to drop the rifle off to them. Don't hang around and wait for it, ladies and gentlemen. Just be kind to your armorer. Drop the gun off to them, let them fill out a service ticket, and they'll call you when it's done. Because the option now, and it's my go-to option, is slugging the barrel. What I do on that is you have to get your lead pot going and get your lead molten. And when I'm getting ready to slug a barrel, John, I turn the lead. I've got an electric lead pot, 20-pounder. And I turn the heat on that thing all the way up. I want that to be as hot as I can, just for this purpose. Now, when I'm casting, we can talk about casting another time, but I turn it down. And take my lead ladle and put it in there and let it get to the same temperature as the lead so nothing will cool off real quick. You take, and for 30 caliber down, one of the best things, John, that I've ever found to use to plug the barrel to make a slug it is a cigarette butt.
Really?
Cigarette butts, yes, cigarette butts are designed not to burn and not to melt. And because of the filter on them, there's a lot more air than there is material, and you can roll those things back and forth and make a very thin, small plug, and I'll do that, get it however big I want it to be, and for 30 caliber, I just roll it a little bit and then push it in. And take your brass cleaning rod or an aluminum rod, and you slide that about half, three-quarters of an inch down your barrel, and you've got your lead molten and everything. Take, and what I do is I put takes aluminum foil and fold it and build a little dam that I put around the muzzle just in case I miss, that molten lead isn't going to hit the scope or down the side of the stock or in my boot or anything else. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, molten lead will burn you very deeply, very quickly. Don't ask me how I know. And you stand the gun up on the stock, and your gunsmith, your armorer, is going to pour some of that lead into that barrel. Now, the reason that you have it very, very hot is the moment the lead touches the barrel's going to be cold, and it's going to want to set up right there. If your lead is very, very hot, the heat will retain enough that that first few drops it hardened will automatically remelt, and you let it sit there and cool down. After that's done, what I'll do is flip it over and shoot a little bit of WD-40 or AMSOIL. We started using that AMSOIL spray lube, John. I like that stuff. But I'll shoot a little bit of that down the bore as a lubricant. And then you take your brass or aluminum cleaning rod. The reason I keep saying that, ladies and gentlemen, is there are a lot of steel cleaning rods out there.
Military surplus are all steel.
Yes, sir. And I love them because they break down to a nice 6-inch package. But getting back to what we're doing, you take that and start tapping that slug from the muzzle to the chamber. And what your armorer is going to do is he's already marked that rod just where it's going to be, just above where the chamber is. First part, he's going to work on getting it down there as quickly as possible. And then when he gets next to the chamber, he's going to tap it much more lightly. And the purpose of it is that as it gets down to the chamber where that stuck case is, that lead will upset a little bit, grab the mouth of that case, and push it out. And, you know, once he's got that thing out, he's going to look at the case, try to determine what caused it. You know, was it an old case that was going to go anyway and fail? Or is there a problem with the chamber somehow? And once that's out and everything, then, and he gives you the good to go, all is well and good, ladies and gentlemen. But the point I really want to make is do not ever use any kind of metal tool to remove a stuck case from your chamber. Now, I've seen a couple of guys that have done it with wood dowels. I haven't quite understood how it works, but I've seen them do it, so I know it does. But if you've got your range bag and you happen to have your broken shell extractor in there, then 9 times out of 10, well, let's be a little bit more optimistic. 8 out of 10 times, you'll get it straightened out at the range.
There we go.
And
here's our break.
Music.
Here's our break, Jimmy. Hold on, we got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Shooters.com. Let's continue, Jimmy.
All right, sir. On the range bag. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever got any questions on range bags or anything else that we talk about, and maybe things that we don't talk about, you can always go to DesertEagleShooters.com and look on the webpage there. You've got the contact section. You can always email me at jimi at hdc-nm.com. And if all else fails, you can either text me or call me at 575-513-2842. And if I don't have the answer for you, if I can't find the answer for you, I will find someone that can give you the answer to your question. Because the purpose of RBN and John's shows is to be informative. And if we can't help our listeners and, you know, in our case, in the store and everything, customers and friends, find solutions and answers to the questions, then we're just not doing very good of a job. So, like I said, we're always there to reach out to. I don't care if it's guns, reloading, whatever. Give us a shout. If we can't help you, we will find someone who can. But other thing, the last thing I wanted to say on the range bag, ladies and gentlemen, is one thing that you always want to keep in one pocket or something on your range bag is some Tylenol, aspirin, something like that, pain meds, and at least a couple of small bottles of water. We've talked many times about getting dehydrated in the summertime or the wintertime and how dangerous it is and the effects that it has on you. So always make sure that you've got non-alcoholic, non-sugary, i.e. no sodas, just good old straight H2O, with you at the range, in your range bag, in an ice chest or whatever. That's the safety point, the reminder point on it. And, but if, like I said, if you've got questions on range bags, if you've got questions on things to put in them, or if you're looking for particular tools, items that you need for tools or anything, give us a shout. We'll help you out where we can. And it's just the way things go, John. One of the reasons why I focused on the chamber so much this morning is that we had a customer last week that we'd met him at a gun show. And he had told me at the gun show that there was a quirk with his AR that every, you know, I don't care what kind of ammunition it was or anything, after about 8 or 10 rounds, it would not eject. Could not get the case out of it. You have to run the cleaning rod down and tap them out. And then it would continually stick after that. And I told him at the gun show what I suspected it was. And last week he was on his way running north and gave me a call and wondered if he could bring it by. And here's the top of the hour.
We got a break.
On the other side, ladies.
We'll be back after the break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.